Welcome to another episode of Life in Bali. I'm DC Puba of Cuc Audio and Cuc Archives. And Life in Bali is a production of Cuc Audio. Our Thursday diversion. Digression from all that silly Zen stuff. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic hardship and able to get out and do whatever you want within the limits of the universal precept to do as little harm as possible. I'm coming to you from Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. Today's guest is our friend Reski, or Reskiana Ramli. And she is just perfectly charming. You're going to enjoy meeting her. And we'll call Reski up after 21 minutes of a bunch of nonsense. The COVID-19 virus here has, you know, continued sort of at a steady pace recently. We're all being careful, and I don't know anybody who's contracted it. I hear about people. But our friends and, you know, locals and foreigners, the Bule, are all careful and masking. And, you know, there's a fine for not wearing a mask. And I saw the lady we get fruits and vegetables from down the street. She had a shield on, you know, like, you know, a plastic shield around. You know, doing that without a mask is not good enough. She said her doctor told her to do that. I bet he told her to do that in as well as wear a mask, because she deals with the public. She doesn't have a lot of business. This is, you know, people go down this street. It's a, you know, it's not a real busy street, but people going to Murdeshwari Beach tend to come down this street. So, yeah. But anyway, she's older, younger than me for sure, but she needs to be careful. And she frequently is complaining about, you know, being sick or whatever. She's a little different from most, from any Indonesian I know, because she's, you know, she sort of complains and she's unhappy. But, you know, they've got a nice big villa there, giant temple inside, I mean, for a home, a number of little buildings with these black, like, coconut hair roofs. And I don't know what that is. So I looked that up because I really don't know what they are. I didn't know what they were made of. But I finally found it in WikiWand under thatching. In Bali, Indonesia, the black fibers of a ringa pinata called ijuk is also used as thatched roof materials, usually used in Balinese temple roof and Meru towers. Oh, a Meru is like a pagoda. So looking up Aringa Panada, we see Aringa Panada is an economically important feather palm native to tropical Asia, from eastern India coast to Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines. It's called sugar palm. It's a medium-sized palm, grows to be about 20 feet. Anyway, so it's like, they're very like black, hairy-looking roofs, and they're really exquisite-looking. And they're thick. You know, they'll be like a foot thick, or 6 inches thick, or something. And in Mare's temple compound, there are the roofs on little buildings that are, you know, 6 feet in diameter, that, you know, for putting offerings in. They've got about four of them in there or something. I should go in and look at it so I can give you a better description. Anyway, extended family lives in there. And, you know, she's there 7 days a week, except when there's, you know, ceremonies that take her away. I see there's only 179 active cases, known active cases in Denpasar. You know, that greater Denpasar is 2 million. So maybe, you know, 700,000-800,000 for non-greater Denpasar. I think more like 900,000. I see, you know, in September, there were the highest number of deaths in one day was 15. So, you know, that's definitely up. And there were a few deaths every day. That's for all of Bali. And there's a lot more in Badung, which includes Kuta and Seminyak. And it's to the west of here, not very far away. And it's a big regency. So I don't know if the cases there are in the country or in the city or what. Anyway, we're being careful. The beach is pretty active. There's a lot of kites in the air. It's windy. It remains windy. It seems windier this year, and it seems hotter, too. You know, now that we're through the cool August time. But I went swimming in the ocean this morning. Well, late this morning. maybe I got there at, you know, 10:30 or something. And went swimming. And then I worked there. I just sat there on a couch at Genius and worked. And Katrinka was walking Bondi with a friend, you know, with their dogs and playing. Then she came back and joined me. And she sat there and read, and I sat there and worked till 5 o'clock. So that was great. And we ate, we didn't eat a lot. We had coconut water. I had two pots of tea, black tea with ginger and hot milk, and a big old coconut for the water, just for the coconut water. And we split a, we were bad. We split a chicken burger. Really good. This place has a lot of vegan food. No, the only meat they have is a little chicken. And but before that was later on. And before that, I asked, you know, with my second pot of tea, I asked, you know, I said, I just want something like, I know you don't have croissants, but something like that. So they brought me some toast with really good peanut butter and chocolate, like spreadable chocolate. That was great. And the toast was made from really good bread. There's really good bread here, just like there is in California. It's great. So, yeah, I just worked on a bunch of stuff. And, you know, here on the home front, I mentioned a while back that our dear Kuchita, the cat, had deserted us and gone to a neighbor, and then she'd come back some. Now she's coming back every day. But she's got two homes, and that's the home she prefers. That's where she likes to hang out. There's a cat she likes, and I think she likes Wayan. He's the son of our landlord, and he lives on the corner. And He's got this neat little place that is hardly ever open now. It's just a little hole in the wall. Wakoka. He's Wayant. And then his brothers are Komang and Kadek. So Wakoka for the three brothers. It's a neat little tiny coffee place. And they'll make tea. I gave him some rooibos so he can make me rooibos tea. But and I pay for it. And I said, no, that was a gift. We're all looking forward to normalization. Of course, it affects us much less than everybody else. Anyway, Coochie comes here, and, we can hear her going, meow, and she has to climb over walls and things to get in here, which she does quite easily. She climbs straight up walls. It's just amazing to watch that, man. She'll jump up a wall. It'll be totally vertical, and then she'll hit it, and then from there, bang, up to the next level to get on top. And but she was limping, and so the vet came. I mean, she was limping seriously, and so the vet came, and said it was a tendon or something, and gave her some sort of shot, and we were giving her some pills for that, and it sort of went away. It sort of went away. And then she came in, and she was limping bad. I mean, three legs. She was walking on three legs. And, wow. And so I called the vet, and we trapped her in the house to keep her so she couldn't run off. And we have these little doors to cover the animal doors. They're little, they slide to cover it. So Bandita, our dogette, and Cuchita, our feline, could not get out. However, she kept trying and trying and trying. And then she'd sleep for a few hours, then go back and try more. And during the night, she got out of the back one. Smart. So the next day, the vet came, and we didn't know she'd gotten out. We couldn't find her. But anyway, so our dear, dear, sweet, sweet, lovely vet, who just has such a way with animals. She's very small and very feminine. So she came back the next day, and we had Coochie because we just wouldn't let her out of the bedroom. And, put the kitty litter box in there and her food. And by then, Katrinka had noticed she had a big gaping wound on her leg. She'd been in a fight. And then I realized that wasn't the same leg she was limping on from before. The first one was the left. This one was the right. So the vet, dealt with that and put a little collar around her neck so she couldn't lick it. She didn't want her to lick it. She didn't want it to get wet, for a week. And she called the collar? An Indonesian Elizabeth collar. Like, because Queen Elizabeth had some sort of collar like that. Anyway, she didn't like to be kept in. And we did that for a day. But then we let her out, let her go back to Wayans. And next thing we noticed, she doesn't have her collar on. But she kept coming back, and Katrinka kept putting the medicine on her and trapping her in the room overnight twice, which I don't like because Bondi can't get out then to go do whatever she wants to do in the backyard, in our tiny little back courtyard. But now we're just, Katrinka's keeping her for like an hour after giving her the medicine and then letting her go back. She feeds her and gives her that. You know what she's found out? She can get this, some types of tuna really cheaper than cat food. So she's cooking it up for her. Boy, does could she like that. And then a little bit of the dry food. So anyway, that's the local home report. I hope you found that fascinating. That's what's happening here. And that is life in Bali. And now let's give a call to Reski. Oh, after I tell you about Reski's husband's book. Now, Reski's husband is Elliot Cohen. Muhammad Elliot Cohen, who we talk about plenty inside. So that will, he's from New York City. He's a writer, and we deal with that. And he wrote a novel. He's got a pretty interesting past. You know, it'd be nice to get him on. No kidding. Yeah, I want him to tell that story. So I'm just going to give you the name of the novel now. I'm going to tell Elliot he has to come on and do a podcast with us because this is all pretty cool. He did a book called Hong Kong on Air. And his pen name, I think it's his legal Indonesian name, is Muhammad Cohen, Muhammed Cohen. Look, you can get it on Amazon. It's paperback. It's pretty long. And it's really cool. It's about him coming there, although it's fiction, but it's based on his experience there. He came there to be a producer for a TV news show. He'd been with CNN. And the book's about, leading up to and including the transition to away from being a part of the British Commonwealth, I guess, to being part of China, the People's Republic of China. So, all right, that's it. And Elliot Oreski will probably hear this. And Elliot, I mentioned once to him you should do this. Actually, I wrote him by accident saying that because I was writing somebody named Eric and got the names confused because, I'm over the hill and, can hardly put two sentences together. And he said, well, I don't know what you'd want to do a podcast with me about. And he said, all I can talk about is baseball. He's a sports writer. But there's a lot more to him than that. Cool. All right. So let's move on to Reski now. Let's call Reski up. All right. Yeah, but before we do, we didn't. In the phone chat with Reski, we didn't touch on the fact that she's a painter. And we've got a great painting of hers. Now, what type is it? I'm not very good at identifying types of art. I guess it's watercolor. And she had a show at the Maya Hotel in their gallery, snazzy place. We went there. And she was with a few other people. And we saw a painting of hers we really liked and thought, wow, this would be good above the dining room table. And so we bought it. And she was very happy about that. And we were too. And it's a painting of Penjur. And the Penjur are the long bamboo ceremonial use bamboo poles, and they curve down. It's raining now. They curve down with, decoration on it. Mainly organic sort of, palm leaf decorations and little basket at the end, maybe, and different stuff. Google it. Google Pinterest, and you can see pictures of it. Anyway, a lovely, colorful picture of Pinterest above our dining room table. Yeah, that's neat. Okay, for real now, we're going to call her. Oh, there you are.
Hey.
Hi.
Yes, I think I have to walk closer somehow, find a spot.
Huh. You know, you came on right when it said it hung up.
Huh?
That's funny.
Okay.
I can't
That's okay.
even.
I can hear you now perfectly.
Yeah. Huh.
So how are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
Well, good, good. Be good. Yeah.
So what are you doing these days?
Oh, these days I work two or three times a week at the office.
Yeah.
And then the rest I work from home. Mm-hmm. So today I happen to it's my turn to work from home, so I just finished work at 4 o'clock. Now I'm in the garden watering the plant and you know, just work some, get some to grow some vegetables and fruits and beans.
What are you growing? Tell me what you're growing.
We've got some celeries, green vegetable. We've got paprika, and then cauliflower, some beans, all kinds of stuff.
When you say green vegetable, you know, they say that here, sayur hijau.
And salad as well. Yeah, sayur hijau, yeah.
Yeah, we never say green vegetable. It's always something like lettuce or spinach or greens. There's chard and... you sent us some... It was chard. It's the long green big leaf with some purple in it. It didn't have purple?
No. But I've got lots of salad, particularly without rocket, you call? Yeah, lots of them.
You sent us something that I thought was chard, and I had never seen chard here.
But I have a couple of okra tree, which I love because I love eating okra. So from at least once a week we can cook some.
that's pretty unusual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In America, there's okra in the south part. There's okra everywhere, but it's very popular in the south.
Yeah, Elliot just told me that I should learn how to make gumbo. Gumbo?
Yeah, gumbo. Gumbo.
Gumbo. To cook with the okra.
Yeah, that's especially famous for like New Orleans.
Okay, I will do. I will look it up and then see whether we can eat it. Because they grow, they have fruits like at least... two or three every day, so you collect in 1 week and that's it. You get a bowl of vegetable. Family and share.
Maybe we should, all our gardens are just ornamental, they're not real big. They're not big like yours. I think sometimes that it would be smarter to plant only what we could eat there.
Yeah, yeah. Our is definitely we can live with it, you know, for maybe a month if we don't go some more, you know.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
just by eating the salad and, you know, the leaves from the beans and we've also got this big trees. We call it in here down kelor. I don't know what you call it.
You call it what? Down what?
Down kelor. Kelor.
Oh, that's, are you sure it's not kale?
No.
Kale?
It's a tree. It's a tree. Not kale. It's a kelor. I don't know what's in
it. K-E-L-O-R?
Yeah. K-E-L-O-R.
Uh-huh.
And it's very good. And they grow so fast.
It says here, moringa. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that here.
Okay.
Moringa.
Yeah.
I've had that here. Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is.
They say that it's a super vegetable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down is leaf. Down calor. Moringa leaves.
Yeah, so we eat the leaf. Yeah, moringa leaves. I got three moringa trees in here.
Yeah.
So, with lots of leaves.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while, but I've had that here. That's really neat. You got that garden growing.
We
really like coming to your events there. You have some very interesting events. Now, your background, is Muslim, right?
Yeah, I'm Muslim, married to a Jew.
Right, and it's a Muslim Jew marriage. I love it. And not only is it that,
the Muslim Jew, but
you all celebrate both the Jewish and Muslim holidays.
we celebrate both. Yeah, we celebrate both, and I think it's very good. And then, you know, we decided that. We think that it's good for Alicia to know both of her roots. So we've made that decision when we have her, that we need to celebrate both. Usually for my religions, we go home to my hometown in Makassar in Sulawesi.
Do you do that?
To celebrate with my family, not this year though, because of the COVID, but we usually do that. I go home because I have big families in there. I still have brothers and.
Do you take Alisa?
Uncles and aunts and cousins. Yes. Yep. Take Alicia.
Do you take your Jewish husband?
Elliot came along sometimes, but not last couple of years.
Uh huh.
Just work and also. It's very busy at the, you know, you do have to dedicate time to visit because it's a big family. You have to visit, you know, spend like two whole days just to visit from one house to another. And as a courtesy, you have to eat in this house, in every house. You know, people will prepare food.
Uh-huh.
It's not just cake or whatever, but food. So you have to eat. Like if you go to five houses, you eat in five houses and because they're all same family and they're all same ethnic groups. So it's kind of similar for every house. You know, every house has their own pie and this is how they cook their, you know, this type of dishes or whatever. So, you know, after two houses, it's a kind of a struggle.
That's great. Is it Padang type food or what?
In Sulawesi, it's mostly for big celebration, people cook chicken and beef.
Uh-huh.
But for every day, people mostly eat fish or seafood.
Mm-hmm.
But so chicken and beef are for the big celebrations, for Lebaran and for weddings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chuku, chuku. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's
a good thing, but you know, just to, you know, also to get Alicia, our daughter, to know her cousins because she got lots of cousins in there and families, and so we need to, you know, get it to keep
and
to get her to have the connections. Yeah.
Yeah. Does she have a good time?
Yeah, she's always got a good time with her cousins in there because she has some cousins that similar age. So you can, you know, spend time with them. Yeah.
How long do you stay?
I usually stay 3 days, 2 or 3 days, not long because you know, I have to work. I don't usually take long leave for big religious holidays.
Yeah.
Because then I, you know, every couple of years we took a big family vacations and then I use my leave for that. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Muslims take far fewer holidays than the Hindus here. So it's
I mean, I think, you know, holidays is not, it's a new concept, it's a relatively new concept for us. But, you know, Muslims and Hindus and, you know, I know that my friends at the office, the Hindu people, they don't like to take holiday, their leave entitlement, because they want to keep it for something like, you know, suddenly you have to have, you know, suddenly there's someone died or someone wedding, and because it's a communal system, so you have to participate, and that could take quite a while.
Yeah.
And they rather keep their, you know, leave entitlement, not for holidays, but for things like that.
Yeah, I experienced that. Yeah,
and holidays expensive, you know, and people sometimes, you know, they don't want, they can't. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the Muslim holidays are expensive, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it's Lebaran or Eid al Fitri or Eid al Adha, you cook, you buy new clothes, you yeah.
So, well, I haven't been to your house for any. Muslim holidays, only for, I guess, for Seder, huh?
Yes.
Passover.
We only do it in here because for Muslim holiday, like I said, I went home, so we don't really do
it. You go home.
Yeah, I go home because I don't really have families in here. And if I stay a couple of times, you know, when I you know, for like Eid al Adha or whatever, we will visit some friends who usually have like open house, people do open house, so you can come and eat lunch or dinner. So things like that. We have some friends in here who do open house. So we never really thought to do the same because we were going there.
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting. I'd love to.
Maybe next time, you know, if I don't go home to Makassar, I'll do an open house in here and invite friends, and I'll cook some Sulawesi food.
Oh yeah, that's great. That's great. I'd love it. I'd love it. Yeah. And you know, Katrinka and I could come and help. Actually, she'd help.
Yeah.
And you just want me out of the way. And when you all do Passover, we go through, well, I guess an abbreviated ceremony, but go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Elliot tells the whole story.
Yep.
And it's always fun.
Yeah, Elliot told the stories, and Alicia will ask the four whatever questions. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And then read the Latin scripts of the prayers, things like that. Well, we do, you know. We try to do it as close to possible with to the, you know, we do the short version though, because it's more time for, you know, celebrations with friends and, you know, families, and to be together and celebrate freedom, celebrate, you know.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving, you do Thanksgiving also.
Yeah, we do Thanksgiving and we do Passover. So twice a year we cook turkey. Last time, I think, I don't know, you were here, last time we cooked the wild turkey, the the locally grown organic turkey, then it was really tough. But we want to.
Oh, really? Well, you know, we didn't eat any because we didn't eat any meat for 2 years. We weren't eating much before then, but then we went completely off. But now, Katrinka just spent 4 months with her son, who's a chef, and they have chickens.
Yeah.
So we've been eating a little bit, like once a week, and then leftovers of organic free-range chickens from Lomba. Do you know about that?
I've heard about it. I have a friend in here who also sells them. I never tried it. I was thinking that we should go organic with our daughter. Alicia, of course, is a vegetarian, so it's only me and Elliot.
Yeah.
So it's not a big decision to make, you know, whenever she Alicia's happy as long as there's tempeh or tahu.
You know, I was telling Elliot, well, I know you all through tennis.
Yeah.
I met Elliot at the tennis court.
Yeah.
And I haven't played tennis in a year or something because of my hernia.
Yeah.
The doctor didn't want me to.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of hitting a little with somebody who's not as good as Elliot. hitting with Elliot's very demanding. He's a lot younger and stronger, and, you know. But it was really good for me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's another guy, though.
Yeah.
We talked about it. We just hit. And that's what Elliot and I would do, is just hit.
Yeah.
And so I might start going out. I mean, there's two tennis courts like 10 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I play tennis as well, and I really, really enjoy it. And I miss it a lot. But I only play with my coach. I don't play with other people because I'm very bad. But I haven't played tennis.
Oh, you should come use me. Come use me to practice with.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty good at getting the ball back. But I'm not supposed to make, you know, I'm not supposed to, the doctor doesn't want me to make, them like go running and stopping real fast and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, who knows? All right. So anyway, I met a couple at the tennis court there at the Mercure Hotel, and she's Muslim, and he converted to Islam. Well, I mean, Elliot had to also, or you all wouldn't be married.
It has to convert to Islam as well to get married. Yeah.
And so he's Mohammed Elliot Cohen. And the Cohens are priests. I mean, Cohen is a very, very Jewish name. And he's Mohammed Elliot Cohen. And incidentally, not incidentally, that's his, the name under which he publishes and he writes. You can find him in,
That's his byline.
What's that financial magazine that's so big that he writes for?
Oh, he writes for Inside Asian Gaming. Yeah. And then also for Forbes Online.
Forbes, yeah. And I've seen him in the LA Times. So, and I know you having a byline, Mohammed Elliot Cohen must help him get published. It's so interesting.
He actually used Mohammed Cohen only.
Yeah, Mohammed Cohen. You're right.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was this couple that played tennis at Mercure, and I was talking with them. And the man is, he's from like North Dakota or somewhere in America.
Yeah.
And they go to the mosque over by where we used to live, you know.
Yeah. Well, the big hotel near the big hotel.
Yeah, it's the only one.
Yeah.
And you know where we used to live, we could hear the calling coming from there. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I'd go in there. I'd go in there and say hello to the what do you call him, an imam?
The imam
or what?
Yeah. Yep.
And it was right on the edge of the Bali Beach Hotel. Anyway, so I told them, I said, oh yeah, I have some friends who, you know, he's American and his wife is Muslim. And actually he's Jewish. And I said, they celebrate the Jewish and the Muslim holidays. And she said, she can't do that.
No.
That's forbidden. She was really adamant. And he said, oh, honey, you know, he's from America. And, you know, they don't think about things like that. it's also forbidden for Jews, too.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, but, I think, you know, the rabbi in the Jewish congregations in Hong Kong give Elliot a call, you know.
all right, now wait a minute. Did the rabbi in Hong Kong, did he have an opinion on this?
Yeah, wasn't really happy about that. That he's still a member in there.
right. Well, that's funny. In Judaism, there's the most conservative. What's it called?
I don't know.
I forget. And then there's Reform.
Yeah.
And there's different levels. Yeah. I've been around a lot of that. In fact, I'm just working on a podcast with my first wife, Diane Goldschlag, mm-hmm. who was from, you know, a very Jewish neighborhood in the Bronx in New York.
Yep.
And so my son is Jewish.
Yeah.
Our son is Jewish because it's...
mother's line, yeah?
It's matrilineal.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a non-practicing Jew. And she's a Buddhist priest. has a little group. All right. Well, so what's your job, Reski? Tell us about your job.
I don't think I can talk about my job.
Oh, you can't even say what it is?
Oh, yeah. I work for, you know, for the Australian consulate in Bali. Yeah. But I can't speak on you know, any publication or whatever about my work or whatever. That's.
But you can say you translate.
I'm a research and public diplomacy manager in there.
Don't you translate?
Yeah, that's part of the things. You know, I translate a lot. I just finished. I'm about to finish my master's degree on translation. You know, so I do. You know, I do translate stuff for my office, and I translated a novel once, and you know, translated education, you know, material, things like that. Yeah, but I do that. I do that translations for. But my main job at the consulate is, you know, translation is just something one of the thing. But my job is public diplomacy, and research. But that's it. That's about it that I can.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's enough. How long have you been living in Bali?
Oh, I moved to Bali from Makassar in 1997. So how long is that?
And 1997. That's 23
years ago. Yeah. So I've been here for.
And why did you move here?
Oh, in Makassar. After I graduated from university, I worked at a hotel as a secretary to the GM at the time in Makassar, one of the hotel in there. And then my GM got offered a job in Bali, and he offered me if I want to come with him to help him with in this hotel in Bali. And so that's
where
in Canggu in the Tugu Hotel.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty good place.
Yeah, so, but that didn't really work well. You know, I only stayed there for like a month, I think, and then I moved, and then I got another job in an advertising agency. And I stayed there for like 7 years, I think, for a long time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, and then after that, I
How'd you
work with
meet?
I meet
No, go on, finish that. After that, you worked where?
after, you know, I work at the advertising agency, and then I work at the consulate since 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I met Elliot 2000, 2000, yeah, 2000, and then yeah, and then we got married in 2001. It's been, yeah.
How'd you meet him? Do you remember? I'm sure you remember.
Yeah, I went out one night with a colleague from the office, just to, you know, a girls' night out. And then we met in this cafe. We met a friend of my friend. So, you know, we got introduced. There's some other people in there. So, and then because I was still working with the advertising agency at the time, so I always like, you know, to give people my name cards and, you know, contact me if there's anything, you know, you need, you know, to create a brochure or something, you know. And so the next day I get a phone call from someone, and it said like, yeah, hey, you know, I met you last night, you had a good time, would you like to go out again? And I can't remember his face.
You tell him what?
I
What?
don't remember who's this guy calling me the next day. But
Oh.
he said like, you know, would you like to go out again? You know, would you like to go out? Can I ask you to hear from, you know, to listen to this Bali jazz musician that playing in Sanur at the time? So yes.
Who?
Bawan?
Who?
Balawan. I don't know if you ever heard.
No, I don't know. I
Yeah.
was curious.
Yeah. He's quite famous. Yeah, so I went out, and you know, it's like a blind date. I don't know. I can't remember which one of them, you know, because I met a couple, you know, several people that night. So
Oh, yeah.
now, and then that's it. Here we are.
Oh, well, that's a very romantic story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
Yeah,
or
and Elisa is how old is she? Is she 13?
13 now. She's
Yeah, she's
yeah.
pretty bright.
She's
How do you know what my dog barks too and comes on.
yeah, this I'm in the garden, so yeah. I'm in their territory,
I
so
like, no, it's nice to hear the dog. I like hearing the dog. It adds a human, no, it adds a canine element.
yeah.
So what do you think about Bali?
Oh, it my Bali is home now for me. This is where I feel much more at home in Bali rather than if I go back to my original hometown. You know, because this, you know, I have friends in here, and even though I don't have families, that, you know, my family's in here, you know, Elliot and Alicia, but other than that, nothing, no, nobody else. But still, it's home. It's, you know, I consider this home. It's they've been very generous, and you know, people in here are very generous, very open, and you know, as a someone from, you know, from other part of Indonesia who comes in here, I always feel welcome and never had any problems. So people, I've got some good friends, and you know, so yeah, this
Yeah.
is home.
What?
This is home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You all have the most diverse group of friends of anyone I know in here, really. There'll be all the major and a few minor religions and racial groups
All those will be very,
represented.
you know.
Did you have you spent much time did you spend much time going to the dances and like legong and kachak
Yeah, at the
and
at
that sort of
yeah
thing?
at the beginning, but not for, you know, not lately, or of course not during COVID, but not for the last few years, not really. Only when only only when only when we have friends, you know, visiting or whatever, and they wanna, and then we will recommend if they want, we go see Kecak, all the touristy things.
Yeah, that, same here. Yeah, same here.
And you know, I have a, you know, good from work, you know, working together with Art Institute, the Art Institute in Denpasar. So sometimes they have something, you know, they have a performance or whatever from the students, they'll invite us, I'll come. I enjoyed, you know, cultural event, cultural things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I hope, you know, I hope soon we can do that again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What sort of, how do you think Bali is doing with the virus, with, the, you know, the COVID-19?
I don't know, not really. I mean, you know, lately the case are getting out, you know, getting so much, and then I don't know. It's hard to see. I mean, because you can see that yesterday my sister was here. She came for, you know, for work purposes. She was here and she stayed at the Mulia Hotel, the big hotel in Nusa Dua, the Mulia.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a hotel with thousands of rooms and they only have like 15 guests. I asked the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really sad to see because, and I went to Nusa Dua through the toll road and it's, we're the only car, you know, going to Nusa Dua and coming back to from Nusa Dua as well in the evening. So it's very sad. But then again, you know, this virus, you know, is killing people. So we do have to be very careful. We cannot rush. I know people need to eat. You know, people need to work and to earn money to buy food. But it's difficult.
Yeah,
I don't have the. Ooh. I can't say. I mean, some people are unhappy with what governments do or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, what else? I mean, what is the solution that would make everybody's happy? It's difficult.
Well, it seems to me that people here are, at least publicly, very cooperative with the government.
Yeah, very cool. That's the good thing is in here is that, you know, people follows the leader at least.
They're,
you know,
publicly, but yeah. But then we know when they're, as soon as they're private, what I see, like in the local Banjar, the Blanjong Banjar, because I walk by there a lot, and you know there'll be young people meeting there, and they'll all have masks on. Everybody wears masks. Until they get inside. And once they get inside, some keep their masks on, some don't. And they'll all be right next to each other and everything.
Well, the government's put a fine, right? If you're in public and you don't use masks.
Wait one second. Tungu, yeah. Hey, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Minta Bichara, huh? Rahim, apa, Berengkat? So that wasn't Rahim, that was Taufik. And Rahim and Taufik have been working on the refrigerator, and he came up to tell me that they've set it on manual because the automatic isn't working, and I think he said they'd come back tomorrow. I can't remember. Did they come back the next day? Or to call them if there was a problem. Anyway, I cut all that out. And, you know, it's embarrassing for me to be speaking Indonesian with Reski there, listening to all the mistakes I'm making and getting nervous because she's listening and making even more mistakes. But I survived it. And now they've set it permanently on manual, and because it went back and forth, and seems to be working now. But We'll wait and see. You know, if it problem is there aren't parts here for it. That years ago there were when it was made. But anyway, so then I'll let you hear the very last bit of that exchange. We'll go back to Reski.
Besok tetap gak bisa beku. Cari jalan alternatif pakai manual, Bapak David mau nggak?
Mau saya panggilan di besok dan lapor.
Ya. Ya.
Oke, saya lakukan itu. Oke. Okay.
Ya, ya, ya.
Oke. Okay. Terima kasih. Sampai jumpa besok. Ya. Minta tutup pintu.
Ya, ya. Ya.
Oke. Okay, bye bye.
Lanjut.
Ya, ya. Oke. Okay. Ya, ya. Terima kasih. He was being a little shy there.
I have a fridge problem.
Are you still there? That's that refrigerator guy. We're having trouble. I think we might have to buy a new one. Yeah, they just keep coming day after day. But they're not charging me because it keeps not working. I mean, it's working, but then it'll only work for a day. Anyway. I know them very well.
Well, it's good that your tukang is not Balinese, otherwise he won't be able to work because it's a holiday now, right? Kuningan.
You know our Pembantu, she told me she wants to come tomorrow. I said, really? You don't have to come tomorrow. Okay. She said, no, I want to
come. My gardeners take a 3 days holiday. Galungan and Kuningan, 3 days.
Yeah, well, she just had, I mean, she can take off anytime she wants, she knows. And she'll do that, you know. She just had Galungan. It was 5 days. And she only comes 3 days a week. But anyway, she wanted to come tomorrow. She works for a neighbor. We got her a job with a neighbor. And I suggested she work both places today instead of coming here tomorrow.
Okay.
But she said, no, I'll come.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You're good for her.
Well, we're very close. I've known her and her husband for almost 7 years now. And also we're their sole support right now.
Yeah.
I just had to buy her a smartphone. Because her phone stopped working. But anyway.
Yep.
I don't want to live without her, really. She's great. She knows everything here. I don't have to know anything anymore. Anything I can't find. She'll give it to me. I couldn't find I needed a mouse. My touchpad stopped working, and I told her, do you know what a mouse is for a computer? And she went, oh, she doesn't know much about that. I said, it's a little thing, and it's electric. And I know I have one. I can't find it. And about 5 minutes later, she came and said, is this it? And I went, where did you find it? You know, and then she tells me some place, you know, it's one place I hadn't looked. Tofik, he's from Java, and they say Saudara, brother, but nah, it's like cousin is the boss. And I've known them for years, too. They've done all the electrical plumbing. Here and they're good, but our refrigerator is 12 years old, and they don't sell that type here. And I think we might have to get a new one.
Yep.
Anyway, enough of that. This has been going on for weeks. It'll work for a few days, and then it won't keep it. The ice will melt, and you know. So let's see. Where were we before we were so rudely interrupted?
We were talking about how people are using masks but not inside when they...
Oh, yeah. Well, they do both. I don't, you know, Kadek, the Pembantu. I asked her about that, and you know, we talk with her. She's very careful, and she's careful with people that come here. She controls anybody who comes here, you know, tells them what to do.
Oh, and I got my phone wet.
You know.
I'm watering the plant, and now I got my phone wet. Oh, sorry. Hello. Yeah.
Well, it's still functioning. don't get it too wet. But I asked her about that. I said, well, you know, are people, you know, around you, is everybody being careful? And she says, yeah, in her house, definitely. There's nothing much happening in their immediate area. And they go to Singaraja near there, you know. And she says someplace she'll say people are being naughty, nakal, you know. But again, in private. What's the fine now? Is it 250,000?
Yeah.
It's 100. That's what I thought. Yeah. Somebody said 250, but I'd heard it. So $7. That'd be a laughable, you know, in America.
It's a big money in here now that you don't have a job.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you know what two Westerners were just fined in Singapore?
Yeah.
$8,000 each. And also deported and told they could never come back. And all they were doing was sitting on some steps without masks with some other people.
Singapore likes to do things like that. They, you know,
Joel. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love Singapore. I mean, it's a very, I love it for 3 days, 4 days. You know, it's so well managed. And the people there, like, well, you know what? They have the people with money and the people without money. And the poor people there, they're mainly not from Singapore, right? They're from other places.
Yeah, the migrant worker.
Yeah, and they're not doing near as well. And it's even worse in Malaysia, I understand.
Yeah, lots of Indonesian having trouble there.
Malaysia essentially has a sort of slavery. Sort of. Our best friends in Malaysia are... what they're called, engaged Buddhists. And they tell me about it. They're not a lot. They can't do much about that. They can't, you know, they can't get out and protest or anything. So in one thing in Malaysia, all our friends there are Chinese Buddhists.
Yeah.
Chinese Malaysian Buddhists. And there's more tension there from the fundamentalist Muslims than here.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
there's some here.
But it's not a...
It's something they have to deal with.
I think it's more clear-cut where the fundamentalist is and murder. While in Malaysia, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, people are conscious that, you know, the Melayu people are get preference from the governments rather than the other ethnic. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, like the, you know, the Chinese kids will all be like making the best grades and everything, and they won't get any of the scholarships.
Yeah. Here it's not. It's not that, you know. As far as I know, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
They are, well, you know. Because most of the place in Indonesia is that they don't have only in couple of islands where, you know, province where there's no majority, like places in where there's a conflict, like in Ambon or in central Sulawesi, because there's no really majority. Well, other places in Indonesia, most of it is majority Muslim and minority other religions or other ethnic, so it's not, you know, not really have a voice or whatever. So, you know, people prepared to stay, you know, maybe it's better than, you know, they accept that this is how it is. But in places like in Ambon or in Central Sulawesi, where there is almost 50-50 balance of conflict. And I think it's the same in Malaysia, you said, because the, you know, the Chinese are big, and Malay in there are almost, you know, balanced. So that's the...
Yeah.
It could happen, but in Indonesia, I mean, like in Bali, majority is Hindu. So the Muslim community in here, you know, are, you know, because we also... Balinese people are very, very open, very, you know, accommodating, and so, you know, why make trouble? Yeah.
I did a podcast with a young woman, I think she's 32. Who worked with the Writers Festival in Ubud. And she's from Jakarta. I think she's from, maybe she's from Surabaya. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's Muslim and she's from Java. And she's, the focus of her writing and of her studies and her interest is... women's rights in Indonesia, especially Muslim women, and she's Muslim. You know, she wears the hijab, which most of the Muslim women I know in Bali don't, or some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah, the social pressure in here is much less, I tell you. Yeah. So that's why, because lots of this hijab wearing is also in a social pressure. If you're in an area where, if I go home, my hometown, if I stay there for 2 days, every day one of my cousins or one of my aunts will ask, why aren't you wearing hijab? Why aren't you covering yourself? Yeah. So I can imagine if you're in there and you every day someone tell you that, in the end you will say, okay, it's less trouble if I let me just use it.
Yeah, that's right.
So instead of, maybe something that, you know, I mean, I admire people who wear it, and it's, you know, I respect that. But yes, sometimes social pressure is not, you know, it's not, you know, why you want to use it. It's not supposed to be like that. Yeah.
Right. That happens. That sort of thing happens in all cultures, and it makes me think of Socrates was asked if he believed in the Greek gods and Zeus and all that, and he said, "Oh yes, it's not worth my time not to believe in it."
Yeah.
What do you think about the political situation in Indonesia right now with Jokowi? And he has to play a balancing act all the time. How do you think he's doing?
Not very good.
Oh,
but
I
still have the, you know, genuine intention of of doing, you know, good thing and less corrupt, as far as I know, you know. With the last two elections, you know, the other candidate's president, you know, you don't want him to be. He's a bad
No,
candidate.
You don't want the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, so for this time, he's the best what we got. It's not, you know, we should have more. We have better people, I guess, but with this, you know, since we only have him or the other guy, so he's, you know, he's not, I'm not so sure whether his performance has been very good, but particularly with this COVID, you know, it's still difficult for every country, for every leaders. I think he hasn't been really, he's been very, I think that he's been very Japanese about stuff, not really always clear cut and be.
Java is the worst place in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
For the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And Bali's doing much better than Java.
Yeah, but still, in here, cases are rising.
They're rising.
Every day there's people dying.
Yeah.
It's not good. But, you know, I don't know. So people is like, you know, get angry, whatever. But what can you do? You know, just, you know, follow what the government said. You know, stay distance, use your mask when you have to go out. They're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about say, freedom of speech? How's it?
During the COVID time, I think we are actually going backward. Yeah.
How so?
Just with the law particularly in, you know, the law with, you know, like you can say this in social media, and, you know, it's too easy for whoever in power to say, you're not saying something that you're saying something that I don't, you're going, it's not. It's, you know, people should be able to say what they, you know, be responsibly, but, you know, people shouldn't be. There are some law, I think I can't name it, but lately there is some law that the government's approved that, you know, hinders that, you know, freedom of speech. But again, compared to other countries in Southeast Asia, for example, Indonesia is much, much better. But still, we can't use this as that because of that we are okay. But no, I think I can't name specific whatever because I don't know. But definitely, there's some, you know, decline in that, in terms of, you know, the law that are used to prevent people to, or media to, you know, the freedom of press and the freedom of people to say whatever.
Yeah. What do you think about the situation with trash and plastic trash and all
this
that?
It's all depressing topic, yeah?
Huh? What'd you say?
It's all depressing topic.
Yeah, it is.
In my work for the last few years, we focus on that, you know, that, you know, looking for alternatives, and I found that there's so many organizations and private individuals that work to, you know, to reduce plastic, to educate people, to socialize, you know, reuse, and, you know, healthy living and things like that. Less plastic, and I think compared to other places in Indonesia, Bali has been very successful in, you know, in trying to reduce plastic use. It's not enough, mm-hmm. and all those organizations need to work together better to put better pressure to community and to government,
mm-hmm.
because what they do so far is good, but not enough.
Not enough, yeah.
Yeah, not enough. And then there's solutions out there. There is solution out there, you know, just from, you know, people inventing this and that, and then how, you know, you can use this, your waste like this and less plastic like that. And even the no plastic from the, you know, at, if you go to supermarkets and whatever, that's very good. But if the government, you know, if yeah, the focus is not there at the moment. So
yeah,
not, you know, it could go back again to use plastic.
Well, you know, COVID-19 has increased plastic use a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's
not
but,
much, you know, I don't know what the alternative though. You know,
yeah.
like gloves and,
well, yeah, there's alternatives. There's, you know, there, it's just people don't take it seriously enough. And also, you know, but plastic bags, they're still not giving out so much here, but I don't know, they're still everywhere.
But yeah, but then it's starting to get, you know. Yeah, I don't think that people, supermarkets, big supermarkets will go back to things. But, you know, they, before COVID, the government has planned to ban all the plastic bags by the end of this year. But of course, that never happened now because, so plastic bags are still used in traditional market. And that's where a lot of abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Do you have much plastic in the ocean there where you live?
Oh yeah, we, you know, if we go back, you know, just not so much in, you can't really see it in the ocean, but just on the, you know, on the beach.
Yeah,
because they, you know, we have walkways in here, so it's, you know, you can see it by, you know, by the side of the walkway a lot.
Yeah,
a lot. Yeah, still a lot. And we don't really have a good garbage collection system in the village. Also a problem. You know.
Yeah.
So we try to reduce using, you know, by reusing our plastic and whatever, because, you know, you buy something, you do, you know, you, there are plastic, but we try to reuse them and,
yeah,
and use as much as little as possible if we can. So we can do, you know.
Yeah, you know, there can't really be a working solution unless the government is absolutely devoted to it. It's too big a problem. And nobody should have to pay for trash pickup. It should be free. Or else they'll throw it in the creeks and, you know, they'll throw it in the ocean. They'll burn it.
Oh, well, talking about burning, our house is now full of smoke. Someone burned something next door. I have to go and have a look at that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's full of smoke now.
That brings us to climate change.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Oh, and, you know, I'm an optimistic person, so I'd like to think that we will, human being will do something. There will be an action of that, and that will, you know, save us. And because there's no other alternative than doing something, and they're all, you know, and then people, technology or whatever, getting there. So that's my hope.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know. We know we've survived so far, and so we will survive somehow, anything. But it is have to be like again you said, you know, government. It's the climate change is not a climate issue. It's a political will issue. And that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Because there are solutions. We can, you know.
There are. There are, but
it's just, you know.
We know the solutions. We have them in front of us. But then there's a lot of, it would have to change the money flow.
Yeah.
And the money doesn't want to change the way it's flowing. It has to be forced.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the people benefiting from the way it's flowing that do everything possible to stop it from changing, you know.
Yep.
So, I don't know, it seems to me that both these things, climate change, which is by far the most important to me, and the trash situation, well, it needs actually global solutions. Complete focus on that. Now, but you need to go check out your neighbor.
Yeah,
I need to check burning out. Something.
Burning something.
So,
yeah.
Look, I appreciate your talking with me today. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Welcome. It's good. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah. Have always. You been enjoying the muesli?
Yeah. I'll be buying them soon again.
Oh, good. Mighty Muesli, yes.
Yeah, oh, the Mighty Muesli is gone. It's gone in like 2 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I should get some more from you for that.
Anytime. Yeah, okay. That's great.
Okay.
Well, wonderful speaking with you. And take care.
You too, David. And say hi to Katrinka, yeah?
Yeah, and give my love to Elliot and Alicia.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So thank you, Reskiana Rumley, for being our guest today for Life in Bali. The music that introduced this podcast, and which you just heard briefly again after she and I hung up, in honor of Reski, is from Sulawesi, and it's called Dengan music. And, it's very simple. And now, on the way out, you're going to hear Tana Toraja, music in Rantepao, which is also from Sulawesi. But first, I have to say goodbye. Even before I say goodbye, I'd like to let the listener know that there's an exciting opportunity to make a contribution to help us keep going here at Kuuk Archives and Kuuk Audio. Just go to the homepage of kuuk.com, CUKE.com, and hit that donate button, and go to the donate page, and it'll tell you how to send a check, make a PayPal donation, or become a PayPal subscriber for as little as $1 a month. It's really easy to do, and we would be eternally grateful if you did so. So, until next time, this is DC Puba of Kuuk Audio and Kuuk Archives coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dog at Bandita, often Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening. Thank you.
Thank you.